One of my boys told me what we should do. We need to start having a, they say, well, you need to do another question and answer thing. Remember we did that several years ago where we took like 30 questions? And that was kind of nice because then you just planned all the sermons and I just had to respond to it. It's like taking 3 months off, you know. But it is kind of interesting. Well, let's open our Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And you've got some notes there. We're going to back up again. Last week, we kind of took an overview of what we're looking at here. And this is hard, not hard, but there are several things that are happening here as we study through this. One, Paul in chapter 12, 13, and 14 is addressing an issue to the Corinthians. And I think what we saw last week was the idea that there's a lot of diversity. There's a lot of things that are important that are taking place here that... Sometimes I don't turn that on. As far as they're confining their spiritual gifts, if you would, to just a couple of things. They're not being diverse. And Paul's point here is one to correct their pagan background, but also to say, hey, it's bigger than, you know, two or three things. Everybody wanting to do this or everybody wanting to do that. It's diverse. And so his point here is, one, instruct them about Christian manifestations of spiritual things. And at the same time, tell them it's a lot bigger than you have any idea. So that's kind of the gist of this. But now that we get into it and you start studying it, it's like, well, these are one of the popular chapters or the chapters that people turn to get information about spiritual gifts or spiritual manifestations. And like we said last week, chapters 12, verses 8, 9, and 10 gives you a list of 9 spiritual gifts that so often, and I've done it and I'll do it again, is you springboard off of those that list of 9 gifts and start teaching about them when all you've got is the word message of wisdom or logos sophia. It's like, well, what is that? Well, and then you start talking about it, you're just dealing with 2 words and you really don't know where you're going with it. And so it becomes a challenge. And so what we're going to try to do is maintain an overview of these verses so we keep it in context of what Paul is saying to the Corinthians. But then at the same time, we kind of slip over here and get some instruction on, you know, spiritual gifts and some, draw out some of the doctrinal points out of this. But at the same time, we don't want to destroy what Paul is doing. Because remember, verses 8, 9, and 10 are clearly not a systematic teaching on spiritual gifts. Because it's just a mere mentioning of it. It'd be like talking about Major League Baseball and naming, you know, 9 or 10 teams. And then someone later, years later, coming back and saying, well, here, we're going to discuss Major League Baseball, and all you've got is the name of 9 or 10 teams. And you're going to have like a systematic teaching on Major League Baseball. It's like, all you've got is a list of 10 teams or 9 teams. And so we got to be careful not to read too much into these things. So here we go. Well, let's bow our heads and pray, and we'll get started. Father, we thank you so much for the Word of God. We thank you for this church. We do ask that we may hear and understand these things, that we may take warning and guidance as you intended for the Corinthians, for ourselves, and take it for our church. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Chapter 12, verse 1. Now, about spiritual gifts, or the word is just pneumakiton, which means spiritual matter, spiritual things. Brothers, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that when you were pagan, somehow or other, you were influenced or led astray to mute idols. And again, noticing there that they were led astray, that something was leading them through the idols, but the idols themselves were mute. The idols didn't talk to them, so we're clearly getting into the ideal of the utterance gifts or speaking gifts, prophecy or some kind of ecstatic speech, if they're getting direction, spiritual manifestation through speech. Therefore, I tell you that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed, and no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except by the Holy Spirit. Again, this is probably not a test to find out if this is from a demon spirit or the Spirit of God. This is more of saying there's 2 areas. Because again, it's easy to say Jesus is Lord. Even demons at different times have manifested themselves as angels of light and brought about a message that had some kind of truth in it, but yet they're trying to mislead it. The idea there is that this is coming from 2 different directions. There's 2 camps. There's 2 ways of getting spiritual manifestations, which is a heads up for us. No matter where you go with these gifts, we have to realize spiritual manifestations are not instantly God or Jesus or the Holy Spirit. Spiritual things, that's why he begins this, now about spiritual things. And I think it's a mistake to say now about spiritual gifts of the Holy Spirit. Because the first two verses that follow that, he's not talking about spiritual gifts of the Holy Spirit. He's talking about spiritual things, especially we see in verse 3. Hey, just because someone starts speaking spiritually, it can come from two different places. There's a distinction. Verse 4. There are, and we went through this last week, and I'm not going to read through it all again as far as pointing it out. This is clear in verses 4 through 11 that what he is saying is he's bringing about the point of unity and diversity. There are different, you know, gifts. There's different workings. There's different purposes. There's different ministries. But the same Lord, the same Spirit, the same God. He works all of them in all people, but it's like the same Spirit, he's going to say, gives this gift. The same Spirit gives another gift. And so you've got a wide variety. The simple concept is this, is you've got to have a unified group, if it be a unified church, a unified country, a basketball team, an orchestra, whatever, if it's unified, they're still to make that union powerful. Within the union has to be diversity. You have no diversity within your union, you're going nowhere. You've got to have many parts. Your body is a unit. When I walk out that door, my whole body's going out that door. But my body, he's going to end up saying, is more than an ear. My body is not just an eye. If my body was just a unified eye, I'm not walking out that door. To get this unified body out the door, there is innumerable parts and systems that are functioning together to get me out that door. And so again, in unity, there must be a wide variety of diversity, which is a problem within the church or within any group. Because people, yeah, it's a problem in business or in schools or where is people like to hire people like themselves. You know, if I was an administrator, guess what kind of people I would hire? People that I liked. But you see, that would be a warping of the school system. Or if it was a business, it would be a warping of the business. You've got to have people that are unified with the same cause, but you've got to have different personalities, different desires, different tastes to make the thing function. So it's something that's even in teach people. When you start hiring, get beyond yourself and start hiring what you need and not just what you like. Verse 4. Okay, here we go. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of workings, but the same God works all of them in all men. So now we begin looking at our notes. First of all, when it says there are different kinds, the word different kinds right there, it means distribution, difference, variety, distinction, apportionings, or dealing out. There's a more of an emphasis or a focus on that word when it says different kinds. I know the English kind of clings to that, right? They're different, meaning variety. But the variety that it's talking about here is in the distribution. The information, as you read of that word and get some pictures of that word, it's the idea of the dealings out. It's the focuses on the wide dealings out or diversifying of the distribution of the gifts. They're going every direction. So the emphasis there is really on distribution, and you can read some things about that. It's used. It refers to the gifts being distributed among different people rather than referring to the different gifts themselves. Next thing, the word gifts. There are different kinds of gifts. This is the word, you can see that in the Greek there, charismaton. It is from the word charisma, which means, you can see it in the English right there, charisma, which is a word that means, which is translated gifts, but it has the idea of favors or of something that is unmerited, something that is going to be given, a favor or gift someone's going to be doing it, using. This is unique with Paul. It is used, this word charisma is a word that's used 17 times in the New Testament. 16 of those times by Paul, once by Peter, and you can see the verse, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. And maybe, you don't know for sure, but it's possible that Peter got the word from Paul, because he was very familiar with Paul's teaching. They'd have many interactions. And so Peter is the only other one to use this word. In fact, in Greek, this word is not used. I mean, outside of Paul's New Testament use, charisma is Paul's word. And it is a word, it just means gift. In 1 Corinthians 7:7, when he's talking about being single and not having a spouse, he says, one man has this gift, another has that gift. We all have our spiritual gifts. When that is used in that case right there, the only thing there in the text is the word charisma or gift. It doesn't even say spiritual. It's read into that. You see it happening in chapter 12, verse 1. Now about spiritual, your Bible, my Bible, I've crossed it off and made some changes, not that I'm changing the Word of God, but I've clarified it in here. Now about spirituals, it doesn't say spiritual charisma in the Greek. It just says spirituals, talking about spiritual things. They read the word gifts into it, so we need to be careful with that. Sometimes it has a meaning more than what we want it to have. Paul used it a lot in 1 Corinthians and in Romans, and it's used in 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy. The word is used. Let's go down at the very bottom there. Charisma is, it means, excuse me, it comes from the word charis, or charis. We get our word grace from there. So you got the word charis, which means grace, or receiving something unmerited, a gift, a favor. And charisma takes the word grace, something that is freely given or unearned, and makes it into the gift itself or a favor. So when we look at this again, there are different kinds of gifts. At the very bottom of that page, on page one, the words for gift or present is words like doma, dosis, doria. Those are Greek words that mean gift. They mean present. It's used to refer to eternal life being a gift, or Jesus being a gift, or sacrifices, bringing a gift to the temple. Those are those words that are gifts. It's similar to a present. You can see how it's translated. Present, gift, gratuity, bestowment, sacrificial present. But those are not the same. It's a different word when it talks about charis or charisma. It is an unmerited favor. It is something, in this case, the Spirit of God is distributing. And the focus of that verse 4, there are different kinds, speaking of the diversity or the distribution of favors or gifts, but the same Spirit. Turn the page, please, and we're on to the second next verse. The next verse, so this is the Spirit, and He's giving out favors or things that He's distributing. Different than just the word present or gift or sacrificial gift. And remember, Paul could have used that word, but instead of using present or gift, Paul grabs a word, charis, which means grace or favor, unmerited gift. And he takes that word and turns it into this word right here, charisma, which is not the actual word gift or present like is normally used. So he's talking about something very special, which is why it ends up being translated spiritual gifts other places when it's simply just the word charisma or just spiritual. Verse 4, there are different kinds of service. Now the word different kinds is the same thing that you saw there in verse 4. There are different kinds of gifts. It again means something that is distributed or diversified, a wide range of dealing outs. The emphasis being on the dealing outs, the giving of it. I guess what I'm trying to say here is as we go through this, you're going to see that we're not focusing on the person that gets the gift, and we're not focusing so much on the gift itself, but on these verses here, we're focusing on the giver and the distribution, the giving, because that's what the context is the distribution, the wide range of handing these things out, because we're trying to build diversity. There are different kinds of service. Now, service is a word you can see here again on your notes right there. It's from the word, similar, it's from the word diakonos, where we get our word deacon. And it is interesting because Jesus, His whole purpose was to come as the servant. From my Old Testament verses, the Gospels all record, Jesus came as a servant or a minister. The word minister, and this is when it comes from the word deacon or diakonos, it's interesting that the focus is not on the person ministering to people, as if the focus were on the people. The focus of the word diakonos or ministries here, the service, is the person who is doing it is focused on, guess what? The work of the service. The people are secondary. The Lord is a servant, and the focus is on what He is doing, the execution of His service, not on the people. And so as we look at this right here again, there are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. And it's interesting that the service or the ministry form of this is tied together with the Lord, who Himself was one of the servants that did the serving. And then finally, there are different kinds of working. And again, different kinds is the same thing, a distribution. So again, we want to be careful. We don't want to read too much into these words. Paul's just writing to make a point, but yet that since these words are here, we're looking at them. The Spirit is giving out the favors or distributing the favors, the gifts. The Lord, the original minister, the original servant, is out handing out or distributing the varieties of services or ministries that those favors are going to be used for. And then we come to, there are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them and all men. And you got two words right there, working and then works. And you've got these written down here on your notes. Working is a noun. It's a rare use of a noun, but in the verb form it means effectual working. The idea being, and we've all done this before at some level, you work, 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 and all the focus is on how hard you worked, but you never really got anything done. You're just busy, busy, busy. The word, this word in the Greek is not focused on the working, the effort so much as in the effectual work. It is work that has produced something. And so right here, it's important because it says these are different, there are different kinds of workings or effectual workings, meaning when God is doing the work in this sense, there is something happening. It's not about the service. Well, they were just such a good servant. They did so many good deeds. The focus now goes beyond having done the good deeds and is now focused on the result of having done those good deeds or having done the service here. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. And that the word down there you can see on the bottom of page 2, the same God works. It's a similar form of the word where we get our word. You can see it in the word above there. The word is in the Greek is energameton. And you can see right there our word energy comes from this very thing. And then the same God works. Energon, again energy there, works all of them. Now what's interesting about this, just this way, we've got this right at the bottom of the page right there. The same God works. So there are many kinds of effectual workings. There are many kinds, or there's a wide distribution of things that are getting done and producing, but the same God works, effectually works all of them, all of them and all men. But the word works, where the same God works, is in the present tense. Which means this. I've got a little box. Interesting note. The present tense means these things. A continuous or habitual action. Turn to page 3. Number 2, an action that happens over and over again. And 3, a customary or habitual action. So the same God works all of them. And that word works is in the present tense. Means it's a continuous action. It's habitual. It just keeps on going. Present tense. It's going to go on. Now, helping words would be continuously, repeatedly, over and over again, uninterruptedly, constantly, keep on, customary, habitually. That is what the present tense means when it's applied to any verb. It's just interesting, again, this chapter, and we got several challenges to look at, and we got several things we're going to take a look at as we go through this. But here we've got right here, the same God, takes all of these different gifts, all of these different ministries, and He works them continuously, habitually, in the present tense. He's just going to keep going. Just interesting, because one of the big teachings as we go through these gifts is that they've ceased, that many of them have passed away. And it's like people are going to be grasping, trying to grab something here that says, look, they passed away, we don't have to worry about them anymore. But right up here on the front, God is taking all these things right here in the present tense and is habitually, continuously working them. Interesting. Doesn't lock the case. That doesn't mean, well, there it is. But it's interesting that it's right there, that there's not even any hint of Paul being careful, saying, but you must be careful because it's not always going to be like this. Present tense. He's working continuously. It's going to be like this. So what we've got is the Trinity. We've got the Spirit with the favors. We've got the Lord who is the minister working all those favors in a form of service or diakonos, ministry, focusing on the working of the service, of doing the service. The idea there is not, you're not thinking about what's going to happen. You're just busy doing these things. This is an important lesson. But God is behind the scenes watching all the favors and all the service and making sure it is effectual. And that's an important lesson for us right there. We are diakonos. We are the servants. We are the ones that are doing these things in this case or in many other cases. And our job is to stay focused on the job. Stay focused on the job. This is what we're executing. What about the results? That's the next part. God is working all of them. He's continually working all of these things together. So in other words, God's end is a word. The word work, again, I'm saying it, means effectual. It means it brings a product. Our job is not, we're not God. We are in that category in a sense of being the servant, that Lord, the Lord has made us the servants, and we're to stay focused on the job, keep going. But the next phase is God is going to make sure that our work is productive. We don't make sure it's productive. We just keep grinding it out. He is the one who causes all things to work together in all men. Just interesting, you got the Trinity there and how they're all working. Favors, ministry or service, and effectual working of putting them together to make a product. And he works all of them in all men. Now, verse 7. Now, to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. This is Paul's, I would say, and you've got a Bible there, you can read it. This is his thesis statement. He's made his introduction there, verses 1 through 3, saying, okay, talking about that you've had pagan experience, but realize it's coming from two different directions. Now, he begins his diversity speech. There's different kinds of favors or gifts, but the same Spirit. There's different kinds of ministries or service, but the same Lord who himself is a servant is overseeing all of those. But the same, all these things, God is going to take all of these workings, which is normally a verb, very rare it is a noun, these workings, and work them to an effectual result. Now his thesis statement, I believe. Now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. Then he's going to give an example of the manifestations of the Spirit in verses 8, 9, and 10. And come back in verse 11 and restate his thesis statement. Ready? Verse 11. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he gives them to each one just as he determines. If you slow down and read verse 7 and then read verse 11, they're saying the same thing. They're just saying from maybe a different emphasis. But in between those two verses, the thesis statement in verse 7, the restatement of the thesis statement, he sandwiches in there an illustration of his thesis in verses 8, 9, and 10. So here we go. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. My thought, and many people when you read through this, is when it says each one, the emphasis here is all of a sudden, Paul, and again, I've used it before and I'll use it again, but there's a better verse to prove this, that this is saying, the main point is that everybody's got their part. See, it says right there, to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given. And so everybody's got their part in the church. That is a true fact. That is a true doctrine. But in context here, Paul is not trying to tell everybody, hey, you've all got a part in this. He still, and we went through it last week and tied it all together very clearly, this is right in the middle of his point of diversity. He's trying to show the Spirit is diverse. There's many, many gifts. And so why does he say each one? It's not so all of you go, ah, I bet I've got a gift. It's so the Corinthians say or realize that if the Spirit is giving and manifesting himself in each one, wow, what a vast variety. How diverse is that? The emphasis here is he's not trying to convince the Corinthians like we often do, hey, get out of the chairs, get out of the pews, and go do something for God. I mean, that's kind of where we're at. Go do something. Paul's trying to tell the Corinthians it's bigger than everybody over here playing the tuba or everybody over here trying to speak in tongues. The Spirit is giving something to everybody, but it's very diverse, and it's not all tongues or what prophecy or whatever they're struggling with. And I think prophecy and tongues are the problem gifts right here. Now, to each one... And in the Greek, each one is the beginning. It's the first phrase. We can see it right there on your paper. Each one in the Greek is the first words of the sentence, which means it's emphatic. That's the focal point. Each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit. Again, the focus being the Spirit of God is giving a variety of things, which sets up verses 8, 9, and 10. Here is a splattering of the variety of things that you can have. I'm going to flip over real quickly to 1 Peter just so we got this here. 1 Peter chapter 4. Because I do believe that each person has a manifestation of the Spirit. I just don't think that's the context of what he's trying to say there. It's got to be true because otherwise he couldn't have said it exactly like he said it. But 1 Peter chapter 4 verse 10. I think we can see this maybe in a... a more contextual sense that each person has their own gift, or gifts plural. But everybody's got a part of it. Clearly, over then the rest of the chapter, he talks about the body. But chapter 4 of Peter, verse 10, he says, each one, there's your phrase, each one should use whatever gift he has received. So each one should use, so everybody's got a gift. You've got a gift, use what you've got. So there's your doctrinal statement right there. You've all got a gift or more. But while we're here, let's take a look at it. Because there's something coming up here I'm going to go to next. And it's in this verse. Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others faithfully. And notice right there, serve others. That's still in the context. We go back to 1 Corinthians 12. Faithfully administrating God's grace. There's your word, charis, without charisma. Charis, the grace, in its various forms. If anyone's... Now, here you go. Peter breaks the gifts down into two groups, because what we're going to spend a little bit of time doing is now breaking down these nine gifts. How are you going to break them down? And it's like a circus. How do you want to break them down? It's a wide range. But Peter breaks it down this way. Notice, verse 11. If anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. So there's your speaking gifts. See right there? Whatever gifts he's received. If anyone speaks, that's one possible category of all the gifts. Next, if anyone serves, he should do it with the strength God provides. There's the other area. You've got speaking gifts, or things that are said, and then you've got areas of things that are done. Now, if you think about it, it's got to be that way. I haven't got the spiritual gift of thought. I mean, I'm thinking spiritual things. It's like, they're not, maybe I am, but they're not effectual until I speak them and people can hear them and change their mind or think along with me, or there's something that we're going to have to do. In fact, that's how you sin. You sin in thought, you sin in word, you sin in deed. But thinking thoughts aren't going to affect the community. It's when those thoughts become words, and if they're sin, or if they're spiritual gifts, or if those thoughts become actions. So it's really not a complicated thing. That it's very generic. They're either going to be things that you say or things that you do. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And verse 7. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given. I want to spend a little bit of time on the word manifestation. It's just interesting here. He doesn't say what I would want him to say. Now to each one, the charisma is given. Now to each one, the gifts are given. He doesn't say that. He says manifestations. Now indeed, understand, I think we're talking about the same thing. We're not switching directions. The gifts, the charisma, are a manifestation of the Spirit, and they become a gift. But when you say gift, and someone has a gift, or as we break this down, it is focused on the person who has or possesses something that God has given to them. But instead, we're going to bypass the person, we're even going to bypass the gift, and we're simply focusing on, guess what? The manifestation of the Spirit. So if you allow me to say it this way, you have the Spirit who gives the favor or the charisma to each one, and they then manifest the gift for the benefit of all. But instead of Paul saying, now to each one the gift, and we focus on that middle link, we focus on the end, the manifestation of the Spirit. In other words, it puts us right in our place. When you manifest, or when you use your gift, whatever it is, we can talk about the gifts, that middle link, all we want to, but ultimately what it is the Spirit of God manifesting. Oh, He just did it through you. And so instead of saying gifts or talking about people, the focus once again returns to the Spirit and the manifestation. And the word manifestation, you see it's written down right here, it means the making clear or a manifestation or the setting forth plainly. In other words, when the spiritual gift manifests, what the Spirit of God wanted done is clear. There it is. We see it. Turn the page on your notes. And of course, we come to the word right here is the common good, which is simply in the Greek, to the profiting or for the profiting. So now to each one, a wide variety has gone to each one, a manifestation of the Spirit. The Spirit's purpose is seen for the common good. Once again, your gift, the manifestation of the Spirit is never for the person that has the gift. And doesn't need to be said, but we're going to say it. The whole idea that you have any kind of a gift, and this is setting the stage for where Paul's ultimately going with this in chapter 14. Any reason you have a manifestation of the Spirit is so that that gift will benefit the whole. It goes right back to where we started. You've got the unity, you've got the body, you've got this group, and the reason the Spirit is going to use any kind of diversity within there is for the well-being of the whole group. Why does your heart beat in your body? So that it can get some attention? No, the reason the heart is beating is not for itself. The heart, obviously it would die too, but the heart is beating because it benefits the body. The eyes are not just seeing because, well, that's the eyes really like to see. The eyes are seeing because it benefits the body. And so the whole idea, now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good or for the profit of the whole group. The diversity is all about the whole group. And we're heading towards the church. Now, we begin the list of the nine gifts right here, chapter 12, verse 8. To one there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom. To another, the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And still to another, the interpretation of tongues. That's his illustration of what he just got done saying. This, what we just read, is an illustration of his thesis statement in verse 7. If it doesn't fit, it makes no sense. It should be that. He's giving an example of what the manifestations are. Then he says in verse 11, all of these that he's just listed are the work of the one and the same Spirit, and he gives them to each one just as he determines. Once again, the Spirit is giving, and he got the phrase, each one, once again. Now on page 4, one of the challenges now becomes, and the very fact that there's so many choices here may mean there's not a right answer. I don't want to say it quite like that, but you can't get dogmatic about this list. What is this list doing? Here's what you've got. I've got, I think, 12 things written down from different books, commentary sources, or explanations of what is this list? How do you break this list down? And the thing is, I've been taught at different times from different places, and as soon as someone makes the presentation, they put it on their little chalkboard, or they make their presentation, they hand out their notes. This is how we break the gifts down. It's kind of like, wow, that's great. But then when someone else comes by the break, it's like, oh, wow, that's great. It's like, there's no way of really seeing this. So here we go. How do we break it down? What is taking place in this list? Number one, the list is written in descending order of value. F.F. Bruce wrote that. Meaning, the greatest gift would be the message of wisdom, and we work our way down to the bottom of the list, the most insignificant one, which is interpretation of tongues. So, I don't think that's there. But Bruce is brilliant. I don't agree with it. The four groups. They're going to have these nine are broken into four groups. Intelligible utterances, wisdom, knowledge, and prophecy. And again, we're eventually going to get to Peter's, that we got out of 1 Peter 4:10, you can break these gifts down into two groups, the spoken gifts and the done gifts, the gifts that you do, the action gifts. But he breaks this down as intelligible utterances, meaning things that you can say and be understood instantly, wisdom, knowledge, and prophecy. Another part of the next gift would be the power gifts, faith, healings, and miracles. Then the spiritual discernment. Nobody knows what to do with spiritual discernment or discerning of spirits. I'm going to show you tonight. No one knows what to do with this. Throws them completely off base. Ecstatic utterance, tongues, and interpretation of tongues. And ecstatic means it's you don't know what you're saying. You don't understand what you're saying. You're just speaking as the Spirit is giving direction. Ecstatic means out of control. Not out of control in the sense of rolling around on the floor. We're going to see very clear in chapter 14. None of these gifts, you are never out of control. Never when the Spirit of God moves on a person. It says the spirit of the prophets, which is a clue for discerning of spirits, by the way. Chapter 14 says the spirit of the prophets are subject to the prophet. In other words, the spirit of the prophet is under the control of guess who? The prophet. Just like any of these gifts, never is the gift, scripturally, never is the gift in charge of the person. Where it's like, I've just got to execute, I can't stop, the Holy Spirit is making me do this. I mean, that violates the entire concept. Maybe urging, maybe inspiring, maybe leading, maybe empowering, but the spirits of the prophets are always subject to the prophets. So the minute you see someone completely out of control, or they say, I didn't know what was happening, I couldn't control myself, now we're pushing possibly demon possession. Because we don't see that right here. Now, of course, if God's going to take Ezekiel away in a vision, Ezekiel's going to go in the vision. If God's going to take Paul into the third heaven, Paul's going to go into the third heaven. But these are gifts. So we've got the third three divisions. The illumination, the action, and the communication gifts. And you can see how they're broken down. Then another breaking of three, the gifts of instruction, wisdom and knowledge, the gifts of supernatural power, faith, healing and miracles, the gifts of inspired utterance, prophecy, discerning of prophecies, see right there, there's another clue, tongues and interpretation of tongues. They call discerning of spirits, discerning of prophecies. We'll show you that here in a little bit. The charismatic list, the gifts of revelation, where God reveals something, wisdom, knowledge, and discerning of spirits, meaning if it's a demon spirit or something running around, the gifts of power, faith, miracles, and healings, or the gifts of inspiration, prophecy, tongues, and interpretation of tongues. See, I think discerning of spirits right here drops down there with prophecy. So you've got tongues, and alongside of tongues is interpretation of tongues. But you've got prophecy, but alongside of prophecy is the discerning of spirits, or the discerning of the spirits of the prophets. In other words, tongues has interpretation, prophecy has discernment. So if someone brings forth a prophecy, someone also has the spirit or the gift of discerning. It's like, I don't think so. But again, can't be dogmatic. All we're working with is a word, a phrase. The pairs of gifts, tongues and interpretation go together. Prophecy and discerning of spirits go together, like I just said. Wisdom and knowledge go together. Healing and miracles go together. Is it 6:30? What time is it? Is? Oh my gosh. Holy smokes. We got to quit and pick this up next week. You know, I never think I'm going to have enough information. Think it's going to be a short Bible study tonight. I'll pray. My gosh, that I lost time. I was kind of enjoying that. I'll pray and we're out of here. Father, we do thank you so much for your word. We thank you for the truth. We ask that we may walk in your wisdom and apply these things to our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. What's that? Yeah, it was talk about the Antichrist. That was fun, though. Any questions?